Yeah, Rabosa, we are in Daf Zion, Ahmed Aleph, three lines in the top. The first word on the line, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. We said that we can get rid of the pests sometimes normally, trap them normally, sometimes that, not, with a change, only with a change. So what's normal? What's a change? Rabbi Huda Omer, Elon Kedarka. We said from an orchard you can trap the pests normally because they really hurt the trees. Mistei Lavan, from a crop field, Shelo Kedarka, you have to trap them not in the normal way. Tana Rabbanan, we learn Ketza Kedarka. So what's called trapping the normal way? So that is Chofer Guma. He digs a hole which allows the pests to come out from under the ground. Vatola Bomatsuda, and he puts the trap on top of the hole and they're caught. Ketzad Shelo Kedarka, what's the abnormal way with the change? No, Shapud, okay, he sticks a stake into the ground, Umaka Bakardam, and he hits it with a hammer. Umarada, okay, Adam Mitachtel, and he squishes the ground down and he crushes them. Tanya, we learn the front. Rabbi Elazar ben Bar Yochai, Omer Kesha Amru Mistei Lavan Shelo Kedarka. When they said from a crop field, you have to trap the pest not with a change, not normally. Normally Mistei Lavan Asmuchel Ir. That's only by a crop field. That's by the city, and so it's isolated. Avol Mistei Lavan Asmuchel Istei Ilam. But if you have a crop field that's next to an orchard, where you have a problem again of more damage can be done to the trees, Afilu Kedarka, then you can trap the pests even normally. Why Shemi Yitzim Mistei Lavan? Unless they leave the crop field, Veyachriva Istei Lavan, and they'll destroy the trees. So the Makarnas appears to be more. We said we can patch up a breach in the wall on Chol HaMoed. Ketzav Makarim, what do you mean? How do you patch up as opposed to building? Rabbi Yosef Amar, Behutz of a Daphna. You take palm fronds and the tree called Daphna. And what do? Is, you know, is you take the Daphna trees branches and you bind them with the palm fronds. That's called patching. Masnisa Tana, in a Bryce we learn, here's another way of patching up. Tzar Bitzor, you put the rocks on, you put one rock on top of another, you pile rocks up, but you don't cement them. That's patching. Amrav Chizda Lo Shanu, he said, when we said that you're only allowed to patch up, but you can't actually build the wall, Ela Kosel Hagina, that's only talking about a garden wall, where it's not such a big deal if people come into the garden. But if it's the wall of a courtyard where we're not gonna just patch it up, Monokadaka, that you're allowed to build normally. Why is that? Because people come in, they're gonna come into the courtyard, they're gonna steal. I lay my Messiah, we say, maybe you can support Rav Chisda with the following. It says, Kosel Agocha, if there's a wall that is leaning, the Rosh Hashanah towards the, you know, it's the, hovering, leaning towards the Rosh Hashanah, so Sir Bona Kadayiki, you can tear it down and build it up normally. Why? Because of the danger. So we see clearly that here you can build the wall normally. So you see what? That the wall of a courtyard can be built normally and you don't just have to patch it. And I says, nah, that's not a proof. Awesome. Kedektani time over there. It's the reason why it's not because a garden wall could be patched because of money. It says clearly the reason. Because of danger. Okay, you can't bring a proof from there, from a garden wall, from a courtyard wall that's not a danger. Maybe you can't build it normally. Vikadamer. Some people learn the whole dialogue differently. Toshma. Let me come raise a difficulty to Reb Chisda. Kosel Gochel Shusharab. We learn that if a wall is leaning over the public domain, so Sir Bona Kedektani in the Asakana, you can tear it down and build it up because of the danger. And you see what? You can only build up the wall because of danger. Shalom b'nei ha'sakana, when it's not danger, let's say only for stealing, lo, you can't. And we assume that's called courtyard wall. So let's say that's a knockout blow to Rav Chisda, because you see here that when it's a courtyard wall, you can only build it normally for danger, but not for the sake of stopping stealing. No, he says, awesome, over there, you're right. Over there, why did it limit it to a danger? Because it said, what's so serbona? He's going to tear it down and build it up. Aha, okay, over here, when I said that by a courtyard wall, for the sake of not stealing, you're allowed to build it, bona, below so you can build it, but you can't tear it down. Okay? In other words, if it's down, you can build it, but you can't tear it down and build it. Awesome, Nami, this is all living there. So also, what's, how come over there also? if you have a problem, if your problem was because of a danger, so how come Asam Nami least ever lived now? They also want you to just tear it down and not build it up. The danger is taken away if you tear it down. My Sazim came in the Velosas, because then people, if they can just tear it down and they're not allowed to build it, people are not going to be quick. They're going to avoid it. They're not going to want to tear it down right away, and they'll wait, okay? And therefore, there's going to be a danger of people walking. So we say, you know what? You can tear it down, and you can build it up. So we encourage them to tear it down and protect the people. They shouldn't wait till after Chol Moed. Am Rav Ashi, Maslisan Nami Daika. Rav Ashi says also, our Mishnah, we can make an inference from our Mishnah that supports Rav Chisda that it's only a garden wall that you can patch but not build, but a wall to the courtyard you can even build. From the start, Tiktani, because we learned Bashvias Buna Kadarka. We learned that here on the seventh year you can build the wall normally. The Heicha, okay, now which wall is it that you can build normally during the seventh year? Elim with the Chatzim, you talk about a courtyard wall, Tzricha the Meimraz, and we have to tell me the seventh year is a prohibition of planting, etc. Well, if I'm building a courtyard wall, who needs to tell me? Elalav, the Degina, isn't the whole point. It's what the Mishnah is speaking about, a garden wall, and that even on the seventh year you can build a garden wall. Afagav the Mechzei Kemanda Abiditurusa the Peri. Even though it looks like the person is guarding the fruits and he's not really letting everybody come in, he's stopping the people. Remember, the seventh year you have to let anybody come in to take him, and he's stopping other people coming in. The answer is what? Okay, you leave the gate open. It's not a problem. You're allowed to build the wall up during the seventh year. And therefore, it's talking about a garden wall. Shema Minah, indeed, it's a garden wall, specifically a garden wall that you can't build up from the start, only patch. But indeed, a courtyard wall you can even build from the outset in order to protect the house from thieves. Okay, now Mishnah.
Thieves.
People are going to come in. Now, we're going to talk about, if there's a problem, you know, unfortunately some person gets what we call tzaras, which we call leprosy, whatever the disease that the Torah describes. And we have a problem. We don't want to make people sad on Yom Tov. So there's a question whether the Kohen should see cases of Negayim on Yom Tov or not. Maybe it'll make people sad by pronouncing them Tomei, etc. All the things we're going to talk about. The one thing for the opening, we have several arguments here, but one argument, the opening argument is like this. Everyone agrees that until the Kohen actually pronounces a person unclean, they are not clean. Okay, they're not unclean. So if the Kohen doesn't see them, if the Kohen doesn't come to look, even though the person has been affected, he's not called unclean until the Kohen says so. So we could, in theory, we could avoid making a person unclean by the Kohen avoiding examining him. If the Kohen doesn't examine him, he's not going to become unclean. The argument is, what happens if the Kohen does see him? Can the Kohen not speak? Okay, that was kind of an argument. Everyone agrees if the coin doesn't see him, it doesn't become tummy. The question is, once the coin sees him and the coin sees that he's tummy, is the coin allowed to not speak at that point? Okay, So Rameir says on Yontif, the coin can see the leprosy. Okay, but only to be lenient. So if he sees it's clean, he'll say clean. But if he sees it's unclean, he won't say unclean. Avlo lachmi. He can't say in order to be stringent. He can't speak and say that it is unclean. But Chachamar and the rabbi say, no, you don't look at all. Why? Because if he looks and it's unclean, he's going to have to say that the person's unclean and ruin his yontif, and therefore he doesn't look at all. According to Mary, he can look, because if it's clean, he'll say so. If it's not, he just won't speak. Tanya, we learned, Rabbi Meir, when we learned the Brisa, similar. Rabbi Meir says, Roin is going lahakel avlo lachmir. On Yantif, you see the coin examines the nega, examines the plague. Why? Because he'll only speak in order to be lenient, to say it's okay. But he won't see it in order to be stringent. Because if it's tummy, he won't say so. Rabbi Yossi says no. Omer, he says no. You don't look at all. Why? Because if you involve him to be lenient, okay. You're going to involve him by definition also in order to be stringent, because he holds once the coin sees it, it's tummy. Unlike Rabbi Meir, if he sees it's tummy, he has to say that it's tummy or ruin the guy's yontif. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said a very interesting thing. Now, Rebbe really agrees in the theory. He agrees that you have to speak. If you saw that it's no good, you have to say so. But Rebbe says, nevertheless, near and dear Rebbe Meir b'muzkar, what Rebbe Meir said makes sense. Let's say the leper who was quarantined, I'll speak about this in a minute, was quarantined, and you want to see after the 7 days, can you let him out or do you keep him quarantined or not? So then he says, then it seems like Rav Meir that you let the, that you, that that he should see him, okay. And with the Rav Yossi Muchlat, and the words of Rav Yossi that he shouldn't see him make sense if the person is already have been declared absolutely a leper. And it's a question of is he better or not? Okay. Now we're okay. We'll see in a minute what's the whole. We'll see in a minute what's the whole argument. Amar Rava, so now, Rava says the following. Bitar, he says, with this argument that we have between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, or between Rav Meir and the rabbis, you know, should Cohen look at the leper on Yantar Pradani? Should he take a chance to make him unhappy? So Amar Rava, he said, Bitar kuli Amar lo pligi, when the guy is clean at this moment, and the question is, should Cohen look and maybe he'll be unclean? The Lechazali, everybody agrees that he shouldn't see him at all. Everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Meir holds he shouldn't see him at all. Rabbi Yossi holds he shouldn't see him at all. Why? Because what are you going to do? He says, leave him alone. He's tar with all the best. What's going to change? You're going to make him tummy and yatim? You're going to make him unhappy? You shouldn't do it. Behezger Rishon, after the first 7 days that he was quarantined. Now, what happens, just to make it, if the leper has a white spot, so if there's no black, if there's no white hair in it, or there's no healthy skin in it, so what we do is we close him for the first 7 days. After we'll see. After the end of 7 days, we'll see did he become. We'll see is he better, or if nothing changed, it didn't get bigger, it didn't get a white hair, it didn't get a healthy spot in the middle. So we'll quarantine him for a second 7 days. He says behezger rishon. He says at the end of the first 7 days that he was quarantined, the kuli amar lo pligi dechazalei. Everybody agrees that he should see him. He says what's gonna hurt? You're gonna help the guy. He says either you're gonna declare him okay. And if he's not okay, if he has to say he's already been quarantined, he's unclean, and remain unclean for another 7 days, that's not called making him unhappy. And the truth is, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that you have to speak if you see Tomei, but even he agrees that if the Kohen sees that he's Tomei, he can still wait until the end of the second 7 day quarantine. Keep Ligi. So where's the whole argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? Pesach Gersheni, the whole argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. And the whole argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi is really Hezger Sheni at the end of the second 7 day quarantine. Okay, why? Because now he says at the end of the second day he could declare him clean, but it's also possible that he's going to call him absolutely a leper, and then he's going to have to leave the camp, etc., and tear his clothes and let his hair go and call out his tummy. Say Mar. So what does Rabbi Meir hold at the end of the second 7 days? He suffer. He holds B'koin Talimisa. He says, listen, it's up to the Kohen, if the Kohen says it. And if the Kohen doesn't say his tummy, he's not tummy. So what's the problem? So if he's clean, the Kohen will say he's clean. And if he's tummy, according to Meir, he'll just be quiet. He won't say anything on Yom Tov. And therefore what? So there's no problem. He can see him at the end of the second 7 days. He's not going to ruin his Yom Tov. Okay, Umar, Savar, and Rabbi Yossi holds the following. He says, Litara Latamaksi, but the Kohen always has to say what? He always has to matara or yes matamim. He doesn't have the right not to speak. And therefore, since if he sees that he's unclean at the end of the second one, he's gonna have to say he's unclean. So therefore we don't let him do it so he doesn't examine it at all. That's the argument. So at the end of the second quarantine, Rav Meir says he should examine him, because the Kohen can still decide if he's gonna call him tummy or not. And according to Biyasi, he shouldn't examine him at all, because if he's tummy, he's gonna have to say so and ruin his yantav. Amar Mar, so we just said down the Bryce, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said the following. Rebbe said his halacha was that near and dear Rebbe Yossi, b'muchlat, he said you should follow Rebbe Yossi. If the coin was already, if the person was already quarantined, okay, then we said like Rebbe Yossi that the coin shouldn't look at him at all. But dear Rebbe Meir, b'muskar, and if he's already called a leper, absolutely, he was called Tomei, a leper, and he had to leave the camps, etc. So then we hold like Rebbe Yossi, and he shouldn't examine him at all to see if he's become clean. But dear Rebbe Meir, b'muskar, Rebbe Meir says that he can look and decide whether he's going to speak or not. Makes sense by a person who's quarantined. Well, Tanya, the truth is, we actually learned the opposite, that we have a brisa that says the opposite, where Rebbe says that Rabbi Meir, that we follow Rabbi Meir and he looks at him when he's absolutely a leper and outside the camps, and the Rabbi Yossi, and we learn the opposite, that Rabbi Yossi holds that the Kohen shouldn't look at him, shouldn't look at him, But there was we hold Rabbi Meir that he should look at him when he's absolutely a leopard outside the camp, and we hold the words of Rabbi Yossi that he shouldn't look at him in Muskar when he is quarantined. So we have the opposite opinions. The Gemara says, don't worry, Tanaihi. There are two different Tanaim Aliba the Rabbi. The two different Tanaim according to Rabbi. Okay, now Mar Savar. Okay, now let's come back though. When we said that, what is the argument? The Tana who says that according to Rabbi, you shouldn't look at him when he is quarantined. The Kohen should not look. And he should look at him, okay, when he's absolutely a leper. Why does he hold that? Sober, because he holds Safta Delma Odifle. He says, for the leper, being together with people in general is more important than being together with his wife. Now, let's think about what we're talking about. In other words, we're saying that when he is quarantined, what's the possibility? What's the negative? Remember, we essentially hold like Rabbi Yossi, which means what? That we're only saying that we hold like Rabbi Meir in the sense that he should look at him, but the law really follows Rabbi Yossi that if he sees his Tomei, he has to call him Tomei. So he says that we said that you shouldn't look at the leper when he is quarantined. Why? And he should look at him when he is absolutely a leper outside the camps, because he holds Safta De'am Adiflay, because the leper is, it's more important to be together with people than to be together with his wife. So therefore, when we said, why should he look at him when he's absolutely a leper? Because look, he's outside the camp, but he's still forbidden. A leper is permitted to live with his wife. It's only if he's declared clean after having been a leper and he has to have 7 clean days that he's forbidden to his wife. But what's going to be it? So what's interesting is, imagine a leper's outside the camp. The Kohen looks at him and says, oh, you're clean, but you don't have to have 7 clean days, you know. So what's going to happen? Ironically, on the one hand, he's going to be happy because he's allowed to move back into the camp. Okay, but he's going to be unhappy because the 7 clean days can be forbidden to his wife. So what's more important to him? It's like an old comedy joke. You know, we're going to take his wife or take his wife. He said, so the answer is what? So the opinion that says what? That you shouldn't look, the Kohen shouldn't look when he's quarantined, and he should look when he's absolutely a leper, because the old Safta the Alma Adiflay, he prefers the because according to that Tana, Rabbi holds that he's happier to be with people even though he's going to lose out being with his wife. So if he's a complete leper, and the Kohen looks at him and he says that he's tar, even though he's going to be unhappy that he can't be with his wife. He's happy he can move back to the camp and see people. The old people are more important. Okay, he holds more important. And exactly the other way, when he's quarantined, remember he didn't have to be out of the camp yet. So if the Kohen looks at him and calls him Tommy, which he's going to have to do if he's Tommy, he's going to have to leave the camp and lose his a lot of negatives. He's going to lose. He has to leave the camp. And he has to walk around with clothes, etc. Okay, Umar, and the other opinion, Neil, let me say that correctly or the other way. And if he was quarantined, he says what's going to happen? He says let him look at him. Why? Because if he makes him Tomei and he becomes absolutely Tomei, okay, then he's going to now lose his being together with other people, and he's going to ruin his yantav, and therefore he shouldn't look at him when he is quarantined, and he should look at him when he is absolutely unclean. Umar, the other opinion according to Rebbe, holds the following. Sabra, he holds, this is what Rebbe holds, Safta Dishta Adifale. It's more important to him to be together with his wife than to be together with people. And therefore, if the Kohen would see him when he is quarantined, okay, like Rebbe Meir said, it's going to, here, if he says he's clean, he's going to be happy. And even if he says that he's unclean and he stops him from seeing the world, okay, but so what? He's going to be able to be with his wife, okay? He's going to be able to be with his wife. And so he's going to make him happy on the Moed. It's not a problem. And if he is, but on the other way, if the Kohen will look at him when he's absolutely a leper, if he's absolutely a leper, he shouldn't see him, according to Yossi. Why? Because if he says that he's clean, even though on the one hand he's going to make him permissible to the people of the world, let him be able to come back to the camp, he'll see all the other people, but he comes forbidden to his wife. So if you hold that what? That being with his wife is more important, then Yudafka shouldn't see him when he's an absolute leper. Aye, says the Gemara, 1 second. Okay, good, so we explained everything. He says, that was therefore the two opinions according to Rebbe. Why did they report different rules according to Rebbe? Does Rebbe hold you should see him when he's when he's quarantined and not when he's absolute, or he should see when he's absolute and not when he's quarantined. It depends on whether you hold Rebbe held that seeing the wife is more important or seeing the people is more important. But according to whatever you say, you want to tell me that you really hold the halacha is that an absolute leper is allowed to have intimacy with his wife? The Morgan says, in yes, you are. Okay, and we already learned about Tanya. We learned it in the Braisa that a leper can be with his wife. Because it says, V'yosha b'chutz lo'alo shibis yamim, he should stay outside of his tent for 7 days. That's the day, that's the 7 days that the leper is becoming purifying after he's being declared clean. What she asur, okay, with Tashmi Shemitah. What do you mean being outside the tent? He's forbidden to have intimacy. Okay, vein alo el ishto, because we know the word tent really refers to a man's wife. Shenemar, as it said, by Har Sinai, where they were forbidden to their wives after giving the Torah, it says, Lechem alechem, shuvu lechem alechem. He said, go tell them they should go back to the tent. They go back to their wives. So the tent is a wife. So he stays outside the tent. He's staying away from his wife. That's when. But when is that? When does he have to be away from his wife? The 7 days that he's purifying. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, okay, that, and specifically then, specifically during the 7 days he was forbidden to his wife, as opposed to when he was an absolute leper before he was declared clean. Rabbi Yehuda says here, Shivas Yami Misperula. Rabbi Yehuda says he should count 7 days. B'mei Sfiro, v'lo mechiluto. So therefore you see that it's during those 7 days he's forbidden to his wife and not during the days as an absolute leper before he starts to purify himself. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says the following. He says, he says the opposite. He says he's unclean during the 7 days. He's forbidden to his wife during the 7 days he's purifying, but Kal v'chomer, the mechiluto, it's all the more so that he's forbidden to his wife when he's absolutely tameh. If he's forbidden to his wife when he's purifying, he should certainly be forbidden to his wife when he is absolutely tameh. Amar Rechia, okay, Dante the Fabius. Rechia said, I brought this case in front of Rebbe, and I asked him, there's a famous story. He says, Limatana, he says, you taught us Yosam Lohoya Lo Luzio Elbi Mechiluta. Didn't you teach us that when Yosam, who was a king, he was a leper, and he conceived his child, Yosam, the son, was conceived to the mother, to the wife of Uziyahu, El Mechiluto. When was the son Yosef conceived through the wife to his father Uziyahu, who was a leper? It was during the time that he was absolutely a leper. So in other words, you hold those, it was a whole argument how to count the years. He says, is it true that according to you, he lived with his wife when he was absolutely a leper? Amar Alos, he said, yes, he said, I did say that. I'm of the opinion that a person who is absolutely a leper, when he's not counting, when he's not purifying himself, he is permitted to his wife. Abba Mike Miflege, what was the argument in this case? Where he says, when we learned earlier between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that he's forbidden during his purifying days, and certainly. And certainly when he's absolutely a leper. And the first opinion held, no, only during the purified days he's forbidden to be with his wife. When he's absolutely a leper, he's mutar. Rabbi Yehuda holds, God Rechman of Sefiro, the Torah showed us he's forbidden to his wife when he's counting, because she came to Chaluto, and all the more so when he's absolutely a leper. Omar, the first opinion holds what? Who disagrees? Sovar, he holds, my de gali, gali. Whatever the Torah revealed, it revealed. It said that he's forbidden to his wife during his counting days. That's when he's forbidden. My de lo gali. And what it didn't say, the Torah didn't say that he's forbidden during his absolutely leper times. And since it didn't say it, so he's not forbidden. Says the Gemara, now, according to everything that we learned, the Meibed, the Bekoin, Talia, Milsa, everybody agreed that it's up to the Kohen. Even Rabbi Yossi agreed that if the Kohen does, until the Kohen absolutely says that the guy's Tameh, he's not Tameh. The only thing is, he says, once the Kohen sees it, he has to say so. But everybody agrees, until such time as the Kohen says so, then nothing happened. Okay? And so, according to everybody, if the Kohen doesn't look, the person is not Tameh, there's nothing going to happen. He says the Meimra, the Bitcoin tell you, Mr. Sir, we all said what? Everything we learned before, but that it's all dependent on the coin, whether we know it's the status of the leper is whether the coin says he's tummy or not. Okay, so Gemara says, yes, it's true. Why? Well, Tanya, here's how we learned it. We learned it in Braisa. Biomir as Bo, on the day, this is a strange case where if a guy's completely, has the leprosy, completely covers his whole body, he's actually clean. But then, If healthy skin appears in the it appears, then he's unclean. Rabbi Yehuda is supposed to say the day that he's going to see the living skin, he becomes tamei. Since the word on the day, it shows me some days you see, some days you see leprosy and some days you don't. Some days you look and some days you don't look. Okay, mekan amru, so therefore we learn. So for example, we everybody agrees there's times where you don't look, okay, therefore we learn what? Mekan amru chasid shnolava nega. Let's say a guy's a groom and he got a leprosy, okay? Nosin l'shivish yimei mishnah. What do we do is you give him all the 7 days of celebration, we don't look. We're not gonna look, he's not gonna be pronounced tamei. Okay, yimei mishnah. We do that for him, whether it's a bodily leprosy, lebeso, whether it's a house leprosy, ksusa, whether it's a garment leprosy, we don't look. Bechem b'regel, and the same thing when it's yontif. Nosin no shiris mei regel, we don't go look at yontif, okay, then what? The coin doesn't look. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Don't look, all day's yontif. Don't ruin his yontif, don't look. As long as the coin doesn't look, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda, because from the pasuk of the day, some days you look, some days you don't look. Whenever it's going to be a mitzvah, simcha, you don't look. Rabbi Meir, you're going to ruin things, you don't look. Rabbi Meir, you don't need the pasuk of on that day, some days yes, some days no. Hayu Omer, it said clearly, when the house had leprosy, it says, v'tziva koin p'is avais, the coin says, look, empty the house. Why? Because if he's going to declare the house leprous, then everything in it's going to come to me. So he says, look, get everything out of there before I declare the house leprous. Then he's going to come in and see. So before I see anything, they get everything out, then I'll come in. And then I'll come in and look. Why? Imam tinan lo debar shur. So if you want, we're allowed to wait and not look. Just for the sake of saving you guys money, it's completely elective. It's not a mitzvah, just simcha, etc. Kol shekein the debar mitzvah, certainly for a mitzvah, you're gonna what like a groom or the happiness of the yontif. You'll wait. So therefore, we learn. So I see. You notice they learn from two different sources. One learns that you see sometimes, sometimes not. Because of the word day. One learns it what from the fact. If I wait, if I'm allowed to not look for money, I can certainly not look for a mitzvah. Aye, my benai, what's the practical difference? I'm Rabbi, here's the practical difference. Masmar's darshinika benai. So he said, you know what? There is no practical difference. Sorry, it's only a tease. It's no practical difference. Yeah, just a question of how they learn the pasuk. Rabbi Amar says, no. He says there is a practical difference between where you learn it from. Dabra shusmika benai. This makes a big difference whether for bodily leprosy you're allowed to not look just for, let's say, for money or for an elective. It's not a mitzvah. Okay, why is that? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he learns it from what? Some days yes, some days no. It's only for a mitzvah, okay? It's only for a mitzvah that you cannot look. But for reshus, you're not allowed, when it comes to the body, it's only for a house, for money. He cannot look for his body. You wouldn't be allowed to. But according to Rabbi, since he learns a kavachomer, that if for elective you're allowed to not look, you can certainly not look for a mitzvah. So therefore, what? So therefore, he compares the bodily tumah to the house tumah, and you're allowed to not look even for practicality and bodily tumah if you want to. I, Rabbi Yehuda, 1 second. Rabbi Yehuda holds he learned it from day. Okay, he says. Why doesn't he also learn from the fact that the coin is allowed to wait even for elective things for money? The answer is mehasam logam. He says you can't learn from there. He says you can't learn from the fact that the coin waits by the house for the money. Why you can't learn from there? Why only for? Oh, you could only learn from my pasuk of Vayom to learn that for a mitzvah you're allowed to wait. Why you can't learn from the house to the body? Why? The chiddushu, because it's a chiddush bechlal. How does a house becomes tamei? He says it's a tremendously new point. To ha etzim v'avonim, under general circumstances, wood and stone don't be biyama lematama. In general, they don't become tamei. V'achmetama, all of a sudden, wood and stone and the house, the wood and the stone in the house become tamei. So that's such. It's so irregular for them to become tamei at all. The leprosy that it's such a thing, that such a wood or such a tumah. So there and only there, we say we could be able to be lenient for the sake of elect. Things like money, but the body, which normally becomes tamei, you can't learn from there to there. Ivor Rebbe, and what about Rebbe? Rebbe who learned from the fact that the coin commands him to take out the money from the house before he looks. Amar, he's going to say what? He says, you know what? Even he learns from. Okay, he also learns from the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda the day. What Rabbi says, he says, "Fine." Omar, he says, "These two, you really need to learn both pesukim." The cause of Rachmana biyomer asbo. If you learn the pasuk only Rabbi Yehuda's pasuk on that day, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Habi Amin, I'd say the bar mitzvah, the bar shus lo, the bar shus lo. Exactly, I'd say exactly Rabbi Yehuda. You're only allowed to not look for a mitzvah like the chasan or the yontif, okay? But for elective things like money, you can't not look. Cause Rachmana b'tzibah kain. Therefore, the pasuk told me by the house tuma that the kain commands to empty the house, that what, even for money, you're allowed to not look. Because Rachmana b'tzibah kain, the Torah told me what, the pasuk by the house tuma, that the kain says empty the house, that for elective things, you can not look. Havi Amin, I could think, hani in, okay, only what, only by house tuma, you're allowed to not look. The love tuma de gufe, which is not a bodily tuma. Avo tuma de gufe, like we said, but the tuma of the body, which is the more regular tuma, etc., ema, mechichazi, he has to look, and you're not allowed to wait. Tzricha, therefore what? Therefore I needed also the pasuk of a yom, okay, that even that sometimes yes, sometimes no, even by bodily tumah you're allowed to wait for bodily tumah for a mitzvah. And once we learn that we can wait for bodily tumah, we can then learn from the fact that the kohen commands to take out the money, which is elective, we can also learn even to the bodily tumor that you're allowed to wait even for an elective. We'll call that a daf. Everyone have a wonderful day.